number 900.
Here we go.
Welcome to Living Radio. But first, here's the news.
With airplane ticket prices on the rise once again, many have accepted a new post-2020 normal of the high prices. Some, however, are finding some creative alternatives.
From the New York Times by Santil Nirkar and Tracy Tully on February 26th.
Serial stowaway is said to be arrested after sneaking onto a plane again.
A woman has been detained after traveling from Newark to Milan without a boarding pass.
She had previously been convicted for stowing away on a flight from New York to Paris.
On both occasions, she managed to avoid security and gate agents in what has been called shocking security breaches.
The woman had previously attempted to board a plane without a boarding pass at Bradley International Airport in Connecticut.
In 2024, she was also found hiding in a bathroom in a secure location at Miami International Airport.
After she was returned to the U.S., she attempted to flee to Canada by bus before being detained.
Her court-appointed lawyers suggested that his client had simply not known that she needed a ticket and identification to board an international flight.
And now, here is Come Fly the Friendly Skies, written by Gabriel Urbina, directed by Jesse Edward Rossbrow. Performed live at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, March 2nd, 2026. Come on and fly
with me. I only did it once.
I only did it once, of course.
I only did it the one time. What kind of question is that even?
I did it 257 times.
Okay, maybe I did it two or three times.
And I only did it once in the air.
Six or seven max.
I'd stow away on trains before, obviously.
I only did it once.
A few ships. I stole a bus once.
Only once.
But only one time on a flying machine.
Maybe we should all just start at the beginning.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yes, let's go back.
All the way back to the start.
It was October, 4 years ago.
It was 1987.
It was 1969.
It was 1928.
My name is Henry Feist.
My name is Erin Collins.
My name
or Georgina Mayhew.
Is unimportant. My name does not matter.
My name is Roger Graves.
Or Cindy Clarkswold. I'm done, that's it.
I was 23 the first time.
I was 36 when it happened.
I was 29 when it happened.
I was drunk when it happened.
It was the easiest thing in the world.
I was drunk and I was 19.
It was shockingly easy.
No. I was 20. And my brother-in-law dared me to. He double dog dared me to.
It was the most difficult thing I have ever done.
I got a pilot's uniform.
I just showed up at the airport.
I got it at a costume store.
I crawled under the wire, right onto the runway.
I just sort of waltzed right in. Nobody was looking that closely, not back then.
It wasn't even a good costume.
You learn how to blend in.
You learn how to stand out.
You learn to keep your head down.
You figure out how to hide in plain sight, where they look, where they don't.
How to walk in like you own the place.
How to be next to a group so it looks like you're part of that group.
You nod your cap, you give them a little smile, and then you're off.
Newark, New Jersey to Paris, France.
Lakehurst to Dresden.
Bucharest, Romania to Heathrow International Airport in London.
Let's see, Baton Rouge to St. Louis, Los Angeles to Boston, El Paso to Minneapolis, Miami to Portland, Chicago to Austin, Seattle. Let's maybe just stick to the first one then?
Let's, please.
Right. Baton Rouge to St. Louis.
I hid in the bathroom for almost all of the flight.
I was in the cockpit. They gave me the jump seat so I could deadhead with them. I didn't know what any of those words meant, but I rolled the dice and I thought I'd give it a try.
I'd get out, wander up and down the cabin for a while, and then go back into the bathroom.
I hid in the undercarriage of a 747.
I was terrified someone would find me.
I flirted with the stewardess. Had a Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, like this one. Cheers.
You have to be careful when sneaking into the lower part of an airplane. Do you know what can happen to a body that gets caught in the wrong place when the landing gear retracts? It can just...
Oh, sorry, that was way the wrong time to do that. Sorry.
I hid there for all 90 minutes of the flight.
I hid in the mail compartment. Went straight there as soon as I got on.
It is not a simple thing. Wait a minute. Mail compartment?
Mm-hmm.
What airplane has a mail compartment?
Whoa, 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 airplane. Who said anything about an airplane? I never set foot on one of those.
Then why are you...
What are you even doing here?
Didn't you... You said flying machine, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I stowed away on the LZ-127 Graf. The first transatlantic Zeppelin. Does that count? I think it counts.
I mean, it's technically the same thing. Yeah, I mean,
it, it flying counts, machine. It counts.
Okay, cool. All right. So let's see. Right, yeah. I hid in the mail compartment, went straight there as soon as I got on.
It is not a simple thing to fly in the bowels of an airplane.
As any good pilot will tell you, statistically, flying is the safest way to travel.
But not when you're flying in the wheel well.
You do not have enough air.
On day 2 of 5, they caught me.
You do not have enough heat.
75% of stowaways who travel in the landing gear component die from physical injury, hypothermia, or hypoxia.
I was worried they were going to throw me out. That's what they did to stowaways on ships. They would disembark them.
There was a storm in the path of my airplane.
The crew talked about disembarking me. I heard them.
There was a storm. So the plane flew much, much lower than it normally would have.
Instead, the captain decided to put me to work in the kitchen.
Lower, where there is more heat, more air.
I peeled potatoes day and night, night and day. It's the only reason I made it through.
It is the only reason I survived.
When we landed, the pilots shook my hand, said they'd hope to see me again sometime.
When we landed, I got a cup of hot cocoa at a hotel in the 5th arrondissement. When the hotel clerk asked for my name, I made a new one up on the spot.
When we landed, I spent 4 weeks in a British hospital being treated for oxygen deprivation and various injuries.
By the time we landed, news had broken. An American teenager becomes the first stowaway of the skies. Everyone thought it was charming. I thought I was going to get arrested. Instead, I spent a month getting taken out to dinner.
I did get arrested, but that was a few flights and a lot of bad mistakes down the line.
Why'd I do it? For the adventure of it all!
Because... I wanted to do something that was completely unlike anything I'd ever done before.
Because my brother-in-law dared me to, and I am not a coward.
Because I was afraid.
Why did I really do it?
Well, I wanted to do something with my life. Before, I didn't do anything with my life.
I had to get away from my husband.
I needed to get away from my father before it was too late.
I didn't want what happened to my father to happen to me.
After that first flight, I just wanted to do it again and again. I'd dress up as a pilot, go to the airport, pick a flight, and talk my way onto it. I did it for 17 years. I would have done it forever, but one day the, I suppose, inevitable finally happened. Captain Calais of Air France had a sudden case of food poisoning, and his co-pilot asked me to fill in. I held the control panel for all of 3 seconds. I mean, I'm an idiot, but I'm not an idiot. the last plane I was allowed on. That was 1986.
After that flight, I had what I really wanted. A new start. But sooner or later, I made some new mistakes. Well, and some old ones. So I did it again. And again, and again. Eventually, they recognized me and realized that I was flying without a ticket. The police were waiting for me when we touched down, and they sent me home a week later, and now I'm awaiting trial. My bail was set extraordinarily high. Something about me being a flight risk. I guess I flew a little too close to the sun. That was 2025.
I was a hero, if you can believe it. The good people of Germany loved the penniless little rascal who snuck onto the latest and greatest plaything of the aristocracy. For a while, everyone wanted to meet me. Everyone wanted to buy me drinks, to offer me a job. They invited me on their fancy yachts, over to their mountain castles. 12, count them, 12 girls asked me to marry them. I almost said yes to one of them until I met her father. When I saw the expression on his face, that look of, well, there goes the neighborhood, I knew it was time to go home. I found work here and there, tried to start a family, but it never really worked out. All anyone ever wanted to talk about was the Zeppelin. That was 1956, and stowing away on that flying monster was the biggest thing I did with my life. That was my life.
After I recovered, the United Kingdom denied my claim of asylum. I was returned to Eastern Europe. No one knows what happened to me. That was 1988.
And if I could, would I do it again?
Yeah!
Yes.
In a heartbeat, yes.
Yes. Because at the end of the day, sometimes it's not about going somewhere. It isn't about the destination. It's about feeling like you can leave it all behind. Like there's nothing that you can't escape from. It's about that moment right before you leave the ground, when you're about to become weightless. And so you take a breath, and you close your eyes, and then a moment later, you're gone.
This has been Come Fly the Friendly Skies, written by Gabriel Urbina, directed by Jesse Edward Rossbrow, featuring Battles, David Baxter, Axel Dunbar, and Duncan Flaster. Performed live for Living Radio at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, March 2nd, 2026. Audio production by Robert A.K. Gagneau. Living Radio was formerly a project of Co-op Theater East. Follow us at Living Radio NYC on Instagram and find all our past recordings at our website, livingradionyc.com.